and Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and thanks for listening tonight. Tonight I have with us Rob and Brenda Spears, who are also radio hosts on Conscious Talk Radio. And we're going to talk about amazing healing experiences that these two people have had. That it's just really unbelievable what these two people have been through and how they have overcome the obstacles and walked the path of spirituality doing it. So how are you, Rob and Brenda?
Excellent.
Excellent.
I just want to say, Eva, it's Brenda Michaels and Rob Spears.
Oh, sorry. Brenda
That's okay.
Michaels.
That's okay. We have always, we believe in professional names, and there we go. Although we are married.
I do the same thing.
So.
My husband and I have separate names. We do the same thing.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. So we have Brenda Michaels and Rob Spears, and their show is Conscious Talk Radio.
Yes.
So before we get started about you, tell us a little bit about where people can find you and listen to your show and what it's about and what kind of people you have on there and where they can find you or contact you.
Well, they can find us in the Pacific Northwest, and that is in the western part of the state, on KKNW, which is Seattle's alternative talk station. It's 1150 on the AM dial in this area. They can find us in eastern Washington and parts of Idaho on the weekend on KSBN 1230 AM. And then they can find us on the East Coast and in Europe.
Well, we're all over the country.
Yes.
And in Europe on the Radio Ear Network, which is radioearnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on noon Monday through Friday here in this country, and that's 5 AM in London.
Yeah.
So
we're all over the place.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you were over so many places. That's
wonderful. Yeah, we've been doing this for 11 years in the Northwest and, at various times in other places in the country. But, we've maintained a regional show. And then just the last few years, we've gone out a little bit further again.
Mm-hmm. And what we talk about on the show is really about raising awareness and raising our consciousness, raising our frequency, if you will, of, out of the density when we wake up and we start to connect the dots into a more enlightened type person, a person that understands that we're all connected, and that means we're connected to nature, to each other, to the animals, and that, we operate as a unity, collective unity, as opposed to the separation. And we talk about spirituality and politics and environmental issues and spiritual issues and health issues, relationship issues. We cover the gamut because everything is consciousness. And we do that on our show, and we have experts from all over the world that join us. We've talked from, Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson down to unknown people who are doing amazing things.
So to do things like that, in my experience, you've had to have a dark night of the soul to wake up to what is. How did you come to do what you do?
Well, we both, it's actually how we met, because we had a similar background, although it was at different times, but for us, it was the spirit came knocking through physical problems. We both had very serious cancer, and that started us down the road of discovery of ourselves. Primarily, we started with natural health approaches, but that soon evolved into the understanding that really this was a holistic problem. And spirituality really had the lead in all of it. And we weren't fast learners, Eva.
And we didn't know each other at the time.
Yeah.
We were connected years and years later through a mutual friend. And when she heard my story and she knew Rob quite well. Something clicked for her, and she said, "You need to meet this man. You're going to write a book about this." And I'm not. I didn't consider myself a writer, so I said I resisted quite strongly and said I had no desire to write a book. And she said, "Well, you are, and he's going to help you with it." And that's how we originally got put together. And that was many years later. And I'm ultimately now going to have a book coming out, either by the end of this year or the first part of next year. So that was the connecting point there. And when we met, and I looked into Rob's eyes, and he looked into mine, there was definitely a soul connection. There was a deep familiarity. It was almost like we picked up where we left off.
So, what do you mind sharing your stories?
No, not at all.
Because I would like to give people hope, because you've come a long way through your battles, and I'd like to give people hope and know that there's a reason to keep going and trudging and doing the right thing. Food, diet-wise and spirit-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I guess she's pointing at me, so I guess I get to go first. I was, an athletic youth, as it were, pretty much in my early 20s, having graduated from college where I played rugby, among other things. I thought I was in great shape. The world thought I was in great shape, and I woke up one day and realized I had a tumor under one arm, and when I went for some exploratory surgery, discovered that I actually was riddled with tumors. And the prognosis was not good. The diagnosis was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So, and there was nothing that they could really do within the conventional system. And as we've learned, as time passed, we've learned that this was, what went on with Jacqueline Onassis and others who had all the money in the world. Of course, I was just out of school and didn't have any money. But, it's not a question of how much money you can throw at it. They don't really have a solution. So I didn't know it then, but that was the start of a long trip. But the first realization, Eva, which was in its most naive state, and what I've followed through for years, was the understanding that came to me that I had created this, and that if I could create this situation, then I could uncreate it. Now, that had none of the knowledge that I have today, none of the sophistication, none of the understandings. This was in the 70s. So none of the understandings and the wealth of research and knowledge that we have today, but it's always been available to all of us that it's an inner resource that has to deal with this kind of a challenge. And, we have come to believe that when it comes to physical problems, there's only, one disease, and that is cellular malfunctioning. And everything else is a symptom. There are only two causes. There's toxicity, and there's malnutrition. And the toxicity, which we learned as time went on, and I certainly learned, toxicity includes emotional and spiritual toxicity, not just physical. So even though in the beginning all of my efforts were really physical, because I did everything. I did biofeedback. I did hypnosis. I did incredible cleansing routines, incredible nutritional routines, including for a number of years, no wheat, corn, rye, barley, caffeine, alcohol, sugar in any form, and a number of other things that I discovered along the way I was allergic to. So I had a very restricted diet, but despite their prognosis, I seemed to hang around. And I've kept hanging around all of these years. So that was the beginning of it for me.
What did you do?
And my journey was at the age of 26. I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and they did a complete hysterectomy and basically sent me home and said I should be fine. And I went 13 years thinking I was fine, although a lot of those 13 years I didn't feel good. I was very tired all the time, and and had a lot of different things going on, a lot of flus and colds and sore throats and ear infections and bladder infections. I had a lot of things nagging at me. And then 13 years later, I discovered a lump in my left breast, and I had it checked by three different doctors who basically all told me the same thing, that it was an infected milk gland. I was put on antibiotics because it burned and it was red on the outside. And it would seem like the lump would go down in size when I was on the antibiotics. And then after I'd get off the antibiotics, it seemed like the lump would swell up larger again and it would just burn like fire. And I was put on several rounds of antibiotics. And this went on for nearly 2 years. And I finally had left the area that I was living at that time and moved to Southern California, and I finally had the lump diagnosed properly, and it was discovered that it was cancer. And as a result, they took my left breast. It was in my left breast. And they felt they got it all, and so they wanted to do chemo, but they didn't press me on it, and so I decided not to do anything and sort of got back on my horse and got on with my life. And a year later, I went in for a routine mammography, and I had it in my right breast, and this time it had traveled through my lymph nodes. And this time they were insisting on doing chemotherapy. And the prognosis was that if I, you know, decided not to do the chemotherapy because I really felt intuitively that was not the answer for me. And I don't know where that came from. It came from deep inside. I felt it. So I said no to the chemo, and I was seeing the head of oncology at Cedars-Sinai at the time, who I had been sent to start chemotherapy. And when I told him I couldn't do the chemotherapy, his prognosis was without it. His best guess was within a year it would have metastasized. Breast cancer goes to brain, or usually brain to or bone, that type of place. You know, goes breast to brain or breast to bone are the two prevalent places it travels. And he said, if that happens, and he was really pretty sure it was going to. He said there'd be nothing we could do for you because you have it's systemic in your system. And so he said, you need to go home and think about it. And I went home, and I just prayed about it, and I knew I couldn't do the chemo, so I said no. I didn't have any clue what I was going to do, but I knew that wasn't the answer for me. And then when I finally turned the chemo down, and I started praying again and opening up and asking for help, help started to show up, and I started getting answers to what I needed to do. And I ended up going to Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. He's in New York. He's an MD of immunology. He used to work at Sloan Kettering, and he practices a very holistic treatment for the physical body, and I was put on his program, and I was on that very restricted program like Rob as far as diet goes, and a lot of, many detox procedures and 143 vitamins and herbs and minerals a day, and so many days on with the pills and so many days off. And then I realized that while this was good for my physical body, there was something still nagging at me, and that was why. Why is my body, why is the cancer producing like it is? Why is my own immune system not strong enough to fight it? Is there something more to it? And then I realized I was getting answers about my emotional and spiritual issues. And so I started exploring all of that for myself. Emotionally, I was a mess. And spiritually, I was a mess. And actually, my life was a mess at the time. And I carried a tremendous amount of anger and resentment and bitterness and shame and guilt and lots of things from my life that had never been processed and healed. And so I began to do the inner work. And I couldn't afford to go to a therapist, so I just started gathering information and gathering books and praying and staying open and doing some probably what you consider almost like automatic writing, and that's what I did. And 4.5 years later, I was told by Dr. Gonzalez that my cancer levels were normal, and that was 24 years ago.
I mean, it just kind of takes words away. I mean, it's just unbelievable for me. What about you, Rob? What did you do?
Well,
what was your treatment? How did you get rid of it?
It's not really a question of getting rid of it. I mean, I actually, the probably the best piece of all of this that I got right away was that, you know, as I mentioned, that we know now, this cancer is just a symptom of mm-hmm. something else. You know, when they talk about it being a lifestyle disease, that lifestyle, of course, including your emotional and spiritual life, as well as what you do physically. I considered it a no thing, essentially. And what I did was I went for, on the physical level, balancing my body. I was very fortunate, you know, as they say, when you ask, the teachers appear. Mm-hmm. And I really started to ask, and I started reading books and running into incredible people that led me down a path. But basically, I didn't deal with cancer. I just dealt with how do I get back into balance.
You know, I just want to jump in here because there's a really, really powerful, profound thing that I would love for your listeners to really get and understand. You know, the Course in Miracles says that a miracle is merely a shift in perception. And when we perceive something as an enemy, which we do with disease, chronic diseases and illnesses, we turn our bodies, we are not on the side of ourselves. We're usually fighting and resisting something. And so we fight cancer that way. And that really sets up a winner and a loser, per se, because we're fighting against it. What we did, Rob doesn't, you know, he did it in his own way, and what I did in my own way is that I did the same thing Rob did. I didn't deal with the cancer per se. I perceived the cancer. I decided to have a different perception about what the cancer meant to me. And I decided it would teach me something I was lacking in my life. And it could have been more than one thing, but I was open to being taught to learn from this experience. So that shift to perception opened me up to release my need to fight against something and to go in the other direction, which is what I wanted. And I created a vision for myself. What do I really want? How do I want my life to be? How do I want my health to be? How do I want my relationships to be? And doing that work and having to dive into the wounded parts of me that had never allowed me to have that was the real work.
Yeah, so the realignment here, Eva, is, you know, to put it quite basically, is that disease or other things that reflect from your body, all those things you feel, they're messengers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not the enemy. They're not really, they are dis-ease, as they like to say in the, you know, in a lot of the New Age and spiritual communities. But that's really what it means. So when a symptom occurs, this is really your body, which is at the end of the line.
Right.
I mean, if we consider things, you know, the old as above, so below, if things actually come in first into your energy field and then ultimately manifest in your body, when that manifestation comes to your notice, pay attention, communicate with it. And often, just by doing that, you can reverse a lot of conditions. And, you know, I mean, then it gets into all sorts of ways of doing that. But that, in its simplest sense, you know, is what we did. And this has been a lifelong discovery of, you know, making it that simple. You know, the genius is in the simplicity. It doesn't mean it's easy,
yeah,
but it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my next question. The way that you both describe it, it sounds like someone that you decided there was a button that you could push. And that's what many people say when something's wrong. Well, tell me what button to push to fix it. What how did you find the button to push? Did it take months? Was it weeks? Was it a one-day awakening? Did you spend great time in meditation? How did you find that button?
Well, I found it through prayer and meditation and reading books, books about spiritual and emotional awareness, and books about what, you know, teaches you how we are so affected by the thoughts we think. Our thoughts are electrical, our emotions are magnetic. So you have a thought, it sends an electrical charge through the body, it then sponsors an emotion. The emotion that rises from that thought then magnetizes to you whatever that thought is. And the stronger the emotion, the faster the magnetism. And when you begin to learn about the molecules of emotion, the book written by Candace Pert was one of those books that was really a help for me. I read a lot of books by Marianne Williamson. I read the complete Course in Miracles book twice. And what I did was I made my job getting, my new job was to get well, was to become healthy emotionally and spiritually and physically and mentally. That was my part of, that was the overall part of my vision. And my new job now was to day by day, step by step, go in that direction. And that included meditation and prayer and asking in prayer for help and asking my guides for help and getting connected spiritually in a way I had never been connected before, because I was open to it. The cancer was a very humbling experience. It sort of like cut my legs off at the knees, if you will. And it really allowed for that process. And it took, it's a process. We're in that process even today. The cancer isn't the issue, but we're in that process of waking up spiritually and really remembering who we are as those powerful spiritual beings. And so it's a continuation. It's a process.
Yeah. Eva, to break it down in some of the steps that made a difference, that really helped to lead to understanding how consciousness is behind it all. On the physical level, he did a lot of detoxification routines, liver cleanses, kidney cleanses, whole body cleanses, fasts, things like that, started taking out of, what I said in that equation. There are two causes for disease. One is toxicity, and the other is malnutrition. So it started with both of us with really removing all of those toxic elements on the physical level, and then removing toxic relationships, etc. But what happens is that as you start sloughing off things, a lot of people may be affected by mercury and other heavy metals. I would say most people with cancer, that's a most definite kind of a thing. You start to discovering these commonalities in toxicity, but as you remove them from your body, you start to gain more emotional and spiritual clarity, the third eye area. The best way I can explain it was I was, really quite a physical specimen in great shape, and then all of a sudden I developed tumors. I thought, and the world thought, including any doctors I saw, that up to that point I was very healthy. Their blood tests, their thyroid tests, all the normal kind of physical tests up to that point were saying, hey, this is a healthy young man, strapping, healthy, athletic young man. What I realized was that this was something that had built over the years. When I looked back, I was able to identify times in my life where there were clues that the conventional medical world just doesn't look at. But when I started gaining that physical clarity, those things started to become clear. The third eye area, it was almost as if, basically I set a new benchmark for wellness. It, all of a sudden, I could see what I could not see before. I felt better, so much better than I'd ever felt, that I realized I've been going through life thinking I felt good, but really didn't, but had a very low benchmark for what that was. So the first thing is get some physical clarity, and then really the emotional work and the understanding of why our lifestyle, you know, why you had to stop doing those things that brought you to that place of dis-ease in the first place. And, you know, As I said, I wasn't a fast learner. You know, I went back and recreated more tumors and bad blood counts and all sorts of things. Every time I thought that I could just go back and be who I was before, and it doesn't work. So,
do you feel uncomfortable?
If you are willing to change your life, you can, among other things, you can change your physical condition.
Would you feel comfortable? I don't know how you feel about your life. I'm kind of an open book about mine, but would you feel comfortable sharing so that people can get what you're saying? And here's what I mean. Many people think, you know, I believe that consciousness is ingredients, like Power versus Force in David Hawkins' book, if you've read that book.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, and it's somebody else's fault. They're victims, and they don't realize that they're victims, and everything is happening in their life. It's like falling apart from every perspective. Their health is not good. And can you help them understand how to see what's happening in their lives and take ownership
for it? You
know,
that is a really interesting question that we often wrestle with, because, and I'll tell you why, because you have to be ready to see it from our perspective. In other words, I could tell your listening audience that how I grew up with a very controlling, angry, dominating father and a very emotionally detached and timid, if you will, mother who kowtowed to my father on every level and who was a people pleaser. You know, she would do anything to keep the peace, so to speak, and was quite a perfectionist in her life, quite a controller in her own way, because she was looking always for acceptance. And I learned all of that. My brothers and I, we grew up that way. We learned those behaviors from our parents. And I was a very unhappy child. I yearned to have love and acceptance from my mother and protection when I needed it with her from my father, and I never had it. And I yearned to have the sweetness of my father when I saw the glimpses of him when there was sweetness there, but it was so rare, and mostly got the anger and the retribution and the physical and verbal and emotional abuse. So I grew up with all of that, and I learned a lot of behaviors. I learned to be a victim. My parents never took responsibility in their life. They didn't know any better. They only learned what their parents knew. And so if something went wrong, it was never them that had anything to do with it. They would point the finger in another direction, and I grew up the same way, blaming life for everything and not seeing my part in it. And so I lived a very unhappy, miserable life. And the cancer was the outpicturing for me of all of that. And when the cancer came and I realized something inside of me was basically telling me there was more to the cancer than the physical disease, and I started to look under the covers, so to speak, that's when I began to discover all of those different, I had a lot of negative beliefs that I held on to, that I made choices out of those negative beliefs. I lived in a lot of fear and a lot of anger and a lot of, I was very reactive instead of responsive. All of that is what we're talking about.
Yeah, let me give you an answer that maybe could cut a little more to the chase about what people can do. You know, we often hear about you have to take responsibility for your own wellness. And Brenda described so many of the reasons that all of us, you know, have never learned how to do that in
right.
this culture. And you know, we've never considered, we don't think there is such a thing as a functional family. You know, they're
no.
all dysfunctional. and on purpose, which is to help you learn who you are. But But here's the thing, and here's ultimately what we have learned to do in different ways, is taking responsibility for your who you are. One great exercise, whether people believe it or not, you know, is to say that everything in your life, you know, is yours, that, you know, that you have caused it. All the relations.
Or I like to say, yes, you've called it forth.
Yes, that's a better way of looking at it, because when you say cause, people go, oh, God, I am guilty. I am a victim. That's not so. You don't catch cancer. You know, it's created as a message for you, and whether you want to heed the call or not. But here's the thing. Here's what you can do. Whether you believe it or not, you know, pretend, if you must, that every relationship is a mirror of something within you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you learn. So if somebody is acting out in anger toward you, you ask, what is it, you know, that calls forth the anger within me? You know, what within me, you know, have I not answered that I'm angry about with me? And whether it's parents, siblings, even teachers,
strangers,
anybody, any incident. And this is the way that you start getting in touch with what is in your world. That's how you take responsibility for it. And anybody that just, you know, that poo-poos that doesn't think that's true, well, fine, just try it for a while. And then see by looking within instead of without in your life, because we're great believers that internal landscape is what dictates our reality.
And I'll tell you, it will also, Eva, it really calls upon us to have deep compassion for ourselves. Because when you start to look inside and you realize, oh, I'm sitting with jealousy, oh, I have anger, oh, I'm bitter, or these are the things I'm feeling inside and I've pushed down deep and I've not wanted to recognize or admit about myself, instead of feeling ashamed of that and guilty about that, celebrate it. Celebrate that you have that awareness, because it's not a good or bad thing. A feeling simply is. And we learn everything when we're children. And we take on a lot of those behaviors and we bury those feelings because we're afraid or we're told we can't express them. So these are not bad things about us. They're things that are unhealed. They're wounds. And they're begging to be healed. And so it takes I had to learn to develop a lot of self-compassion so that I could look inside and look at something that my mind wanted to qualify as really ugly. But it wasn't. It was a part of me that was very wounded. And it was crying out for help. I call it the soul being, if you will, the soul that's fractured. And there's fractured pieces of us laying all over. And we've disowned those pieces because we don't want to look at them. And truly, they are a part of us. And once we embrace them and we shine our light and love of compassion on ourselves, and we go through the healing process and transform those pieces of ourselves back into the whole of us, it's a beautiful process.
Was there a moment for both of you when you knew you had crossed the line to the path of wholeness? Was there a moment?
Yes, there was, and I don't even know if I could say it was a day or a moment or an hour, but it was a feeling that I had that I was on the road not only to recovery, but I was on the road to a completely different me. And I was so excited about it because the real me, as I started peeling back the layers of all the wounds and all the emotional scabs that I had, the real me was this beautiful, wonderful, incredible person who I carried a lot of shame about and a lot of guilt about and never felt good enough. And so that was such a wonderful healing journey for me. And it wasn't easy. Like Rob said, you know, it's all the more simple you can keep it, the better. But this isn't an easy journey to take. We know this. If it was, everybody would be on it. But it's a courageous journey. But it's the most rewarding journey anyone can take. That's all I can say. And I knew, I felt it in my bones, if you will, in my being, when I was on that path. I knew that I wouldn't have to look back again.
Did you have an aha moment, Rob?
Well, yes, I would say I had any number of them along the way. And you know, as Brenda said, it's like every level seems to have, you know, it's a continuing process. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really what we call life. But yes, I did, and the first one was, you know, way back when, because I do remember that moment where I got it, you know, after they had sent me home and said, there's nothing we can do, and you have just a short time to live. I went through all those things in my mind, but I had that moment where it came to me that somehow, you know, these guys didn't know. Nobody else seemed to have an answer, so it was my answer that somehow I had created it. And, you know, ergo, if I could create it, I could uncreate it. And that was, in its most simplistic thought, the beginning of that energy, you know, the beginning of my healing. And I knew from that point that whatever happened, it was going to be my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when, before I had really learned to ask even, that's when the resources started coming. And it's been a trip since then, you know, back and forth often. You know, it's really gradations of wellness, that it seems that on this journey, I'm always discovering things, and, you know, it just keeps getting better and better.
But he's not saying back and forth with the cancer. That has been gone for 40 years, and in my life, that has been gone for 24 years.
Yeah.
We're saying just different levels of...
Well,
of,
Brenda had cancer several times. You had
three times.
And I actually recreated things, you know, and went down. Before we knew what AIDS was, I had my T cell count went below 200. And, you know, we would know that today as somebody who has a severely damaged immune system. You know? And, you know, it was able to, you know, bring that back up actually, you know, very rapidly and without any kind of physical intervention. That was all spiritual and emotional work. Those kinds of things, it's great to have measurements out there. It's great to, you know, have blood tests that tell you relatively where you are, but they're not the end all. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't actually dealt with a conventional medical doctor except for injuries, you know, falling off things and that kind of thing, breaking bones, et cetera. But I haven't dealt with internal medicine in 40 years, you know, except through naturopathic doctors and various lab tests.
And I haven't for 24 except for naturopathic doctors.
I'd like to ask you both this, because I had this in my life, and I know I can tell both of you are on a very serious spiritual path, and so I'm curious if you found it in your life. I don't consider myself to have been a very nice person when I was growing up. I mean, and what I mean by that is it was all about me. That's what I guess I was a narcissist, maybe. And when something happened to me, it changed my entire perspective about how I should treat other people. Did that happen? How did you feel about yourself, and did your illnesses change the way you viewed other people? Does that make sense?
Well, the healing that happened definitely changed all of my relationships. So those people that I thought were, you know, I was being victimized by, you know, all of that shifted. And what I realized is, the only person that was really victimizing me was me. I was open to it. I was calling it forth. I was allowing. I was, you know, saying, yes, I'm here, you know, treat me this way. Because that's how I treated myself. I had very low self-esteem. I never felt I was good enough. I carried a lot of shame and guilt around. There were times when I could be very angry and very nasty to people, and there were times when that's how they treated me, and I would like curl up in a little ball. So I think, Eva, we have all of that possibility within each and every one of us. And it's, you know, it's sort of like the Indian story about which wolf do you feed? The young Indian boy who went to his father and said, "Father, I have, you know, two wolves inside of me. One, you know, that's angry and fearful, and one that's the other way. And which one is going to win?" And he said, "Well, which wolf are you going to feed?" In other words, which wolf do you put attention on? Are you going to put attention on feeling like the victim in your life and blaming life and everyone in life and around you for your circumstances? Or are you going to open your heart and take responsibility for yourself and your life and find that self-compassion that sits in all of us and feel compassion for yourself and forgive yourself and forgive others and step up in your life? Those are the choices that we're given.
Yeah, I think that you come to realize that you have a personality and you have a being. And our whole idea was to bring more of that being, you know, into this dimension. You know, it's the more we refer to the God self, you know, but the more that you bring into your life, you know, the more possibilities. And again, it's realizing how that being aligns with your personality or doesn't align with your personality, if you're really honest, mm-hmm. you know, allows you to make those shifts. And it's, you know, forgiveness. So many people talk about the importance of forgiveness, and it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiveness and appreciation.
Those were two yeah. big steps in our healing processes.
Yeah.
And going back to you, Eva, saying that you were narcissistic when you were young, there was a reason for that. There was probably many reasons for it. And we usually take on certain behaviors because we've learned that's how we can make it through life, or we've learned that's how we have to cope with certain situations, or we've learned that that's how we protect ourselves. And so to judge those behaviors as good or bad is not the truth of them. The truth of them is that we do that because we're in survival of some kind, and we're using those behaviors as mechanisms to make it through life until we have a different awareness.
Yeah, you've been a great student of physics and all of that end of things, and quantum physics, et cetera. And what we have, you know, come to understand is that, you know, we do create our reality, but we've been working on information that you could consider a false reality. You know, we think reality is all of those long habited patterns that we inherited, we learned, we were told about, and we conform to. And that is just one, you know, itsy-bitsy, tiny part of the reality and the possibilities. So it's kind of moving all of that out of the way to find out who, you know, ultimately you are and what your purpose is. That just coincidentally, and there is no such thing as a coincidence, will bring you into wellness, or will bring you at least on your path. As we say to clients that we work with, because we do work with a lot of people, they tend to show up with us when they're really in trouble, and, you know, which is okay. But what we tell them right at the beginning is we don't know what their path is. You know, if they've come to us with a very dire situation physically, if they've got a disease like cancer at whatever stage, we don't know if that was their purpose, if they've created that to get off this planet, or whether that is a message for them. But we don't know what their walk is, but we do know that we can get them back on their path. But, you know, through these realizations that we have, and, you know, there were so many, many, many ways of doing that. And that's what we do. We align their energy with who they are.
Let's talk about that just for a moment, because we've spent the entire show talking about what happened and how you got through it. But now, how you help other people, how do you do that? Do you have,
We do healing work with them on the emotional level and on the energetic level and the physical level. And we take the things that we've learned and the techniques that we used, and we work with our clients with those what we learned and those techniques. And, you know, and every person's different. So we have to approach every one of our clients for how it fits them and the circumstances in their life and what is happening with them at the time. And I do, on my end of it, and Rob is a wonderful, wonderful energy healer, and he really helps to move energy and rebalance, and I dive in with them on the emotional and spiritual issues. And we get to what I call looking under the covers and discovering what's under there. And why we were using those behaviors, and why we took those beliefs and we hung on to those beliefs, and all of those little mechanisms, all those little things that created these different patterns that are playing out.
And then we teach them how to recognize those patterns, mm-hmm. how to move them on. We're not interested in people coming to us for the fix me part. Mm-hmm. You know, we're interested in empowering people to do it themselves, to stay on their path and to grow. So there are many energetic techniques. It's kind of a rearrangement of how you see the world, and we give them techniques for doing that to really get in touch with what they are creating.
So do you guys do this? Can you do it on Skype with people? Can you do it from
Skype. We do it on the phone. We have clients all over the world.
Yeah, the idea is to give somebody an experience. If you know, you can't just talk. You have to have them have an experience so that they can feel something going on, mm-hmm. and that's what we train them to do. And in some cases where it just is going to take some real energetic movement for them to believe that something's going on, well, you know, that's where I intervene and actually will move energy within them. And when they have that experience and then understand that they can do the same thing, you know, mm-hmm. that it's ultimately they're responsible, they're really doing it. We're just opening up the channels for them to do it. When they have that experience, they're on the road to healing.
And it isn't really Rob healing anybody. He's an open channel, and that energy comes through. And the same with me. I open my channel up, and, you know, energy comes through. I intuitively know where to go and what to say and what to look at. It's an intuitive process.
So we have about 7 minutes, and I'd like to give you that opportunity, 6 or 7 minutes, to talk about anything that you want to talk about that you think is important. But I'd also like for you to make sure that you tell people how they can get in touch with you before you finish up.
Well, what I would really like people to walk away with today and to take it into their hearts is that this is a, if you will, this is a movement or a shift from the head to the heart. We are learning now, or remembering, if you will, to be more heart-centered beings. And a very easy technique for people to do, which helps them to start getting out of their heads so much and the constant thinking and the constant mental processes that really squeeze out the level of compassion and joy and love that we are, is just to put their hands on their heart center and to spend a couple of breaths a day there. In other words, put your hand in the center of your chest in your, on your heart chakra, and breathe into that area. And just simply let your breath fill that area and begin to expand the heart and to begin to understand that our wisdom and our compassion and the remembrance of who we are is in this area of the body, and that we have spent eons of time now in our heads and made the thought processes king, and now we're being shown that we have to step out of the mind and into the heart and allow the heart to guide us and allow the mind to come behind the heart, that guidance, that intuitive awareness, to take the actions that we need to take.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, and whether we talk about it on our radio show in so many different ways and in so many different walks of life from the various authors that we present, et cetera, is that we are into defining what it means to be a spirit having a human experience. And it is getting people in touch with that fact, and that they literally are in charge of their experience. That's our mission. When we first started the show 11 years ago, it was all about, you know, we decided that the Conscious Talk would be about giving people back to themselves, having them realize and be empowered to know who they really are.
And to get in touch with us, Eva, they can get on our website, conscioustalk.net, and all the information is on there, how they can email us, they can get on our Facebook, and they can notify us through Facebook. They can email us through our site as well. And our information about our healing, you know, modalities and what we do and the show, it's all there on our website at conscioustalk.net.
Okay. I have to tell you, from my perspective, sitting in my chair listening to you, you make a beautiful team.
Oh, thank you.
There's this very masculine, black and white person, Rob, who kind of cuts in and gets to the chase. And then there's you, the nurturing, feminine matriarch thing. And it just, it makes me think about what I've told you. I was talking with Irvin Laszlo recently about how women are going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that in the two of you, and see that words are hard to find here. It's just,
well, this
I'm
is
such
how
a
we felt when we
black
created
and white person.
It.
Sorry?
This is how we felt when we created the show. We wanted both energies to meld together and to be present, to speak to people from both those places, because we felt we could touch people more deeply that way.
Yeah, and as they are present in every person. The
yes.
whole idea is that balance.
Yes.
Is to realize the feminine is within the male gender and the male is within the female gender. And, you know, to use that, understand and appreciate that, as opposed to create the separation that we have in our culture.
So do you have a title for your book, Brenda?
I do. It's called The Gift of Cancer, Awakening the Healer Within.
And do you have a publisher? How will people be able to get it when it's finished?
Believe me, I will have. I will be sending out plenty of press releases, etc. I have three publishers that are interested in it. I'm just getting the manuscript finished up, and I'm working as furiously as I
yeah.
can because I want to get this thing published. So,
and it'll be announced on the show.
Oh yeah,
and
well,
on our
well,
website.
Oh, absolutely,
sure.
And on my
yeah.
our Facebook page, and people will know about it for sure.
Right.
Okay.
And
well,
hopefully I'll get to interview you with you again.
All you got to do is let me know.
Great.
All you got to do is let me know, because we have to get it out there. You guys have an amazing story. I mean, sometimes I would sit here with my elbows on my knees listening to you talk, and you would stop talking. It would be time for me to ask a question, and I was still stumped at what you were saying. You know, I mean,
well, we hope we didn't make it too complicated for everyone, because
we want
people to.
It's not complicated. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you have done with your love. It really is.
Thank you.
So tell us one more time where we can find you. Your email, your
ConsciousTalk.net. We're on from 7 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday here in the Pacific Northwest, and you can find us on our site, ConsciousTalk.net, in the archives, and also, you know, on Radio Ear Network. It's RadioEarNetwork.com.
Yeah, we stream live.
And we podcast.
Monday through Friday, and we podcast, and all of that is free, and we'll keep doing that. We are a commercial show on purpose because we wanted to talk to people where they live. So we're a morning drive show, which is actually pretty amazing for this kind of AM radio.
It's wonderful. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so pleased to know you. Thank you so much for taking the time, both of you, for coming on my show tonight. And when that book comes out, please let me know, because I want to help you put it out there to the people at least on my list.
Thank you, Eva, and thank you to all of your listeners who listened to us tonight and for asking us to be your guests.
Yes, and as I was always say, you know, thanks for having us. We really enjoyed being had. You got to have a sense of humor.
Got to have that male thing come in there, you know. It's so funny. Thank you, guys, and I hope you'll come back.
Thank you, Eva. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.